And first up here on Ars Live and Local, we have Raymond Martin of the group Ta Ta Ta. They're going to be appearing at Carruthers in Astoria tonight and in downtown Astoria. Raymond, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And Ta Ta Ta, describe the kind of music you play.
It's easier to listen to. It's childish imagination is kind of what's been referred to.
There we go. I'm on.
There you are.
Childish imagination is one description. Mary, the vocalist, my wife, lyricist, it describes it as. I think its origins are definitely back in the 60s, as far as Incredible String Band, maybe some Dylan. Some of that's in there, but it's definitely our music. A lot of other people have influenced us. And yeah, hopefully it's something that appeals to other people as well as ourselves. And it's definitely different. I'm not quite sure how to say. It's not avant-garde. It's not free jazz. It's definitely hummable, listenable music, but it's I guess just listen to it and you'd hear, you'd understand.
Let's have a listen and we'll see.
All right.
Ta ta ta.
Talking again, are we kissing? Did we kiss? Will you? I would so like to. Are we kissing? Do we kiss? Lips that dodge your guest. Better to float the day away. Amen. Better to float the day away. Kissing, so much kissing. Better to float the day away. Better to float the day away. Amid, amid, amid. Never touching. Never waking. Better to drift.
Wow. That was Ta Ta Ta, and we're talking to Raymond Martin from Ta Ta Ta. They're going to be at Carruthers in downtown Astoria tonight. That is quite a track.
Well, thank you. We just recorded that last week, actually.
And and Mary, the vocals are reminiscent to me, at least, of kind of like Bjork.
Well, that's interesting, yes. There's a few vocalists that, like any music, you play music and people go, oh, reminds me of so-and-so and so-and-so. And Bjork is a good one. Kate Bush is someone else that Mary's been compared to, or similar style, a big influence, so it's probably no surprise. But, we like to listen to all kinds of music, and hopefully that infiltrates into what we're doing. You know, we try not to copy anybody, but when obviously you can't help but be inspired by people. And we just actually, that was as things come together quite quickly when Mary and I work on music. And it's usually I start something, I create some canvas, I suppose, audio canvas, and then Mary is suddenly inspired. I mean, a lot of our music is actually spontaneous. So we got to keep the record button going constantly, because we don't really rehearse things too much. We kind of rely on that magic. Sometimes it kicks in, sometimes it doesn't. But we find that, you know, more often than not, if we just start playing something, it'll evolve into something else.
So are the roles kind of demarcated in Ta Ta Ta? One person is a lyricist and the other person comes up with the music, or does it go back and forth?
No, that's exactly how it is. It's Mary. Mary's the lyricist and the vocalist. I do some minor backups, not very much. Mary's really the driving lyricist and vocalist, and I create the music. So it's kind of a good chemistry. And we kind of have a simpatico where as I say, our style is somewhat, I get the initial idea going, I think, but somehow Mary relates to it. And more often than not, what she arrives at seems to fit. You know, it's kind of reminds me of Bernie Taupin and Elton John or something, because although Elton was the singer, Bernie initially was the lyricist, and somehow they had that magic together where Elton would interpret the lyrics of Bernie's poetry, and they had wonderful music together. You know?
Now, which comes first for you, the lyrics, the poetry, or the music?
It's the music. I mean, the music's always, in everything we've done, the music is what initiates. So sometimes I'll create something on the spur of the moment, and it'll just be like within 5 or 10 minutes we've got a song, which is great. But those moments aren't that often. A lot of times I've thought of something, I've prepared something, and Mary and I have been playing music for 20 years.
20 years.
Yes. So we met and started playing music together back in 90 something or other, and it was basically sort of a love at first sight, you know, musically and otherwise. Mm-hmm. But so we just connected, and we've lived in Europe for a long time. We met in Portland, but we moved back to Europe, my homeland, and we lived in France for 15 years, and we lived in the middle of the country.
In France for
15
years.
Yeah, and we went on holiday by mistake. You know? Because we went there for vacation, and then we just loved it so much. Uh-huh. And we found this old deserted farmhouse and decided to throw caution to the wind. And so that was where a lot of our music initially was created, because we'd both sort of been in a band together. And then we suddenly found ourselves isolated by our own choice. Mm-hmm. in the middle of this countryside where there wasn't a lot of people around. And it was just us and some cows, basically. And so, you know, especially during the winter, and the winters there were quite cold and snow.
Whereabouts in France?
Actually in the southwest, uh-huh. But it was in an elevation near the Midi-Pyrenees.
Oh, my gosh.
So during the summers, it was very hot, very warm. And then in the winters, because of the elevation, it would get really snowy and cold. And so we'd be cut off for days. So those were good times to work on music. And so quite a lot of our sound and our creations are from that time. I mean, we still, as I said, that track we just recorded last week, and we still create. But I think we sort of became who we are, but because of that isolation, we didn't have a lot of contact with people, and that's actually good, I think, for creativity.
That's right. That's what Franz Joseph Haydn said, actually, because he said, "I was isolated in the court of Esterhazy, so I was forced to be creative.
Yeah.
I was forced to be original."
Exactly, and we didn't have television by our own, decision. We didn't hook into the media at all, so it was really our own entertainment, and that for us was creating music, and then recording it and sharing it with friends, basically.
Of course, it begs the question: if you're there up in the way up in the mountains of France, how did you keep body and soul together?
Well, you try to prepare. I mean, if a storm's coming in, like anywhere, you stock up on the bread and cheese and the wine, and you just keep the fires burning, And then, of course, during the spring and summer, it was a whole different country.
You're playing gigs and what have
we
you?
We played a few shows in France. We didn't play that many. I did work in London, so I flew in and out of London every week.
Mm. You're from the green and pleasant land then?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I did have work in London, so I was able to keep us, stocked up with the essentials. And but nevertheless, during those moments when we couldn't get out, we were, as I say, we were pretty much left to our own devices. But then we moved back to Oregon 5 years ago. And we came directly to Astoria.
Really? What brought you directly to Astoria?
We wanted to move back to Oregon because we had family, friends, and lots of pleasant memories of Oregon. But always loved to visit the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So Astoria felt like it was just the right size. And not too far away from Portland, because we still have connections there. But we just love the, even on days like today when it's pouring with rain and it's all gray and windy.
And it's cold.
It's still got a beautiful atmosphere and charm that we love, we enjoy a lot.
Cold weather, but warm hearts.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I'm from England, so it's very similar.
There you go.
Very similar weather.
And you're going to be playing Carruthers tonight.
That's true, yes.
What time?
6:30. We play 6:30 to 8:30. And we're looking forward to it. It's first time playing at Carruthers. We played other venues in Astoria. But this is, we're looking forward to tonight. And Joey Altruda is our...
Joey Altruda, who is a programmer here at Coast Community Radio.
Yeah, he's making his debut with us tonight.
He's going to be on the bass, isn't he?
He's definitely on the bass, yes. He's a wonderful player. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky to have him play with us tonight. And so it'll be new for all of us, really.
Okay, and the time and place again?
6:30 at Carruthers, which is, 12th and Commercial Street?
Mm-hmm.
And
downtown Astoria.
Downtown.
All right, and we've got another track here from Ta Ta Ta.
Yes.
And again, tonight at Carruthers.
Look forward to seeing everybody out there.
Raymond
Thanks.
Martin, thank you so much for stopping in here on Arts Live and Local. And next up, we've got George Wilson, watercolorist, in conjunction with the Fisher Poets Gathering. Here's Ta Ta Ta. Back to Arts Live and Local. I'm David Paul, sitting in for Carol Newman this week. Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Holly McCone Jewelers, fulfilling the dreams of jewelry-loving customers since 1998. Jewelry and service to suit every budget, family-owned and operated in downtown Astoria. More at hollymccone.com, 503-325-8029. And I'm here with George Wilson. Hello, George.
Hello, David.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine in this glorious day, yeah.
And I hear a bit of a brogue in the accent there. I think you must hail from up in Scotland.
Yes, I come originally from Scotland now. I live in Portland, but yeah, I come from Scotland.
Uh-huh, up north of Aberdeen, between Aberdeen and Inverness.
Yeah, just a wee village on the Murray Firth coast there called Port Nocky. It's a tiny village. I spent like almost 49 years of my life there, and
I moved
to Portland.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how many people in your village there?
Almost 1,000 people, I think.
Almost 1,000.
Yeah, comes in. Yeah, it's, yeah, around about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what brought you to Portland?
Well, I married. I met Lassie, who lives in Portland. Mo Boustern. Anybody who follows the Fisher poets will know.
Okay, the connection is okay. Yeah. I've made the connection now.
Yeah. And we met in Aberdeen, Scotland, in 2008, and we were married 2010. And I moved to Portland 2012.
And yeah. How's it suiting you?
It's great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a journey, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's different. Moving from Scotland to the west coast of the States is...
And from a wee village to...
Yeah, it's kind of like moving forward in time, you know, a little. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you're a watercolorist.
Yes. I have a show at the Imogen Gallery here in town. It's on till March 5th, and mm-hmm. there's a wee reception tonight from 4 till 6.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody is welcome to stop by. Say hello. I'll be there.
Now, the title of the exhibition is called Tides.
Yeah, tides. Well, I was brought up by the ocean, right on the ocean, on a small village, on a kind of promontory, and the tides ran hard past that. You know, you could see the patterns that tides made on the water, and my family are fishermen.
Your dad and your
dad,
grandfather's
both going back. My brother and my nephew still run the boat. In Scotland. And tides, as a fisherman, tides rule your life. When you leave the harbour, when you can return to the harbour, when you can travel through the Pentland Firth from the Murray Firth to the Atlantic Ocean in Scotland,
It's all about the tides.
It's all about the tides, yeah.
You got to read them.
Yeah.
And the currents that they make, I would imagine, are reflected in the surface of the water.
Yes, the patterns. I was always fascinated by those patterns, even on a calm day. And I guess you can see it in a story out in the river.
Oh, yes. Sure you can.
The tide against the flow of the river, the tide with the flow of the river, the tide against the wind, tide against wind. Makes those waves steeper.
Mm-hmm. And the tide against the wind, you get the spin drift. Spray coming off of the water. I mean, yes. And the large freighters rotating around the anchors a weather vane.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And tides, I mean, our lives as well, it's just... with the metaphor of just moving through life and what affects you and what things underneath that you don't know are going to affect you and can't see but are obvious later.
Ebb and flow to life as well as the water that surrounds you.
And also the act of painting a watercolor. I use a lot of water,
mm-hmm.
it's and there's just spreading water on the paper and just giving the paint up to the water on the paper and just letting it go.
Now, watercolor, it seems to me, is a... That is a medium that requires a real commitment, because once you make that brushstroke, you have committed yourself. It's not like oils where you can layer it on and then, I don't like that. I'm going to take my palette knife and I'm going to scrape it all off and I'm going to start over again. You can't do that with watercolor.
Generally, you can't, but you can if the paper is nice paper. You can do it a little. But no, you have to, it's such a spontaneous medium, and I've been trying in my paintings to try and keep that spontaneity. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been painting with watercolors for now, like, 35 years and more.
Really? How did you get started on watercolors?
I went to art school. I did a little before, but there's there's an East Coast school of painting.
Yeah, this is East Coast of Scotland.
Scotland
versus West Coast of
Scotland. Quite a lot of watercolor, and there's a history of watercolor painting. And it's just the fluidity in it, and then it's just that you can make atmospheres without. I mean, it's almost that it's not me that's making them, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
It's as if you're channeling something.
There's a chance. I have skill because I've done it for a lot of years, but you give yourself up to the chance and the stroke, the paint on the water. You just give it up. You just, you know, you kind of know what might happen.
Uh-huh.
But you don't know what exactly.
Not exactly.
Yeah. And that's kind of exciting in a way.
And so you have to kind of adjust during the process.
Yeah. And some of the, I mean, the paintings and Imogen, they're done, some of them are really done very quickly, like 20 minutes or something.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, smaller, but even just half an hour or three quarters of an hour for the bigger. It's because I completely soak the paper, and then you can get various effects as the paper dries out.
Oh, really?
And you've got to be aware
of that. You wet the paper first.
I wet it completely first, and then I wash, and then it's drying out. It's trying to keep that spontaneity, and I destroy a lot of work because it doesn't. You can see it's kind of dead. I've overworked it, something.
Yes.
So instead of reworking it, which doesn't work with watercolors, you just get rid of it
and start over.
Start over. You'll have. You think, oh, that nearly worked, and you have an idea that
maybe next time.
Yeah, if I did this instead of that, it will work. So yeah, I've been trying lately to simplify stuff, images, colors, and just try and keep spontaneity in the work. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
In some way.
And so it's almost like a truth of the moment.
Yeah, it's giving yourself up to that moment, yeah, and not. I don't really do a lot of pre-planning. It just kind of happens. I think about images a lot, and I, you know, when I'm wandering around, I look and I do little sketches at times.
In
a little notebook.
And it's actually in
colored pencil, like in blue pencil. I don't like the feel of graphite on paper for some reason. I have never, like, graphite pencil just doesn't work for me.
Uh-huh.
But the little colored
pencil
just are a softer, and some of my sketches, some of them, it's funny, you can hardly see what's there because they're so soft on the paper, but by the act of doing them, you're reinforcing a memory, because you're just reinforcing that memory, and you can actually recall that memory when you make a painting.
Oh, and you're probably thinking, okay, this kind of brush stroke would work in this particular situation.
Yeah. And you can just atmosphere. You can just try and bring that memory back through your body and just let it out. That's yeah.
Well, I lived in the Far East for a couple of years and did a bit of calligraphy, and there it was all about focusing every bit of attention you had into the tip of that brush.
Yeah,
and all about brevity.
Yes,
making every stroke count.
Absolutely.
There were no extraneous strokes.
Yeah, that's the complete beauty of it. Yeah, if you can do that, if you can make your image and make your what you're trying to get with the with little work as possible, I it's hard to describe.
It's almost like poetry.
Yeah, there was a tutor when I was at art school, and one of his phrases was always to articulate the space in the painting, like not fill, but even the spaces have to be working.
Every stroke in the composition has to do its work.
Yeah, even though there's kind of nothing there, it's there is, you know, it's just space, but it has to work.
Positive space as well as negative space.
Yeah.
And how does the climate of the Northwest and the weather conditions that you see here and the scenery that you see here, how does that kind of inspire you, and how is that as far as painting your water?
Well, just looking out in the river out the window while I was waiting here, just how the mist came down, the rain was here, was down, and it lifted. I love the misty conditions and the rain dogs and how the mist comes down and obscures a landscape, and then lifts. The landscape is, it's so magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I find that wateriness or the mistiness suits the way that I work. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably kind of evocative of the east coast of Scotland.
Yeah, east coast is more like the landscape, and the west coast is more like the west coast of Scotland. The east coast is more rocky and with cliffs and not so many trees, you know, windswept.
We've got that.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I fished up in Alaska a little, up in the Kodiak and Yuganik Bay.
Now, how did you get up there?
My wife, Mo Boustern, she fished up there for many years. And she has lots of friends up there. And I connected with friends who needed a crew. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I wanted to see how...
what that life was like.
How it was like. Because I fished in Scotland for over 22 years on a 75-foot boat fishing, trawling for cod and haddock. And
now, was that the day job while you were painting, or?
Oh yeah, that was a day job. Yeah, absolutely. That was what I did. Yeah, we fished 10 days at a time, 10 day trips, home for a weekend and back out for 10 days, and all year round. We didn't have like seasons, like 3 month seasons. Mm-hmm. We just fished all year round that way. Yeah. Yeah.
And what did you think of the Alaska experience?
It was, in some ways, it was harder. It was fishing, you know, living in a fish camp ashore, going out in the skiff, picking 2 set nets. But like picking that like 4 or 5 times a day, but just every day. It was in some ways harder. It was in a beautiful landscape, but it was just indifferent, you know. I was used to the creature comforts of a large fishing vessel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the warmth of the galley and just that. I mean, even though we were out on the ocean, rolling about and tumbling about doing our work, that's more like a small factory operation that I did, and this is right. Really small scale, really in nature, in the landscape. And every day, you know, one day after another, like for 30 and 40 days at a time, one day after another. So it's brutal. It's. I mean, the fishing in Scotland was brutal in its own way, but this was brutal in another way, yeah. And fishing is always kind of brutal.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic...
It's hard work.
It's hard work, yeah. It's hard work. But the hard work is one of the things I enjoyed most, I think, yeah.
And an inspiration for some of your paintings.
Yeah, well, yes. It's well, more being in the on the ocean and seeing nature on the ocean and the weather.
Mm-hmm.
More of that is just being a part of that. Is I think that is the inspiration for the work, yeah.
And again, you're at Imogen Gallery.
Imogen Gallery here in Astoria, yeah, on 11th, yeah.
And the reception starts at?
Starts at 4 p.m. till 6 p.m.
And how long does the exhibition run?
It runs till March 5th.
And you're going to read as well.
I'm going to read, yeah, I'll be reading at the Fisher Poets at Fort George tonight. Yeah, when I was up in Fish Camp and Kodiak in 2017, I wrote letters home to my wife, Mo. And she loved the letters, and I read them last year at Fisher Poets, and this year she collected them and made them into a zine and edited them down. And she made a really beautiful little zine.
It's got some of your illustrations in it.
Yeah, it's got some of my little drawings from my sketchbook in there too. And it looks really great. So I'll be reading from that, yeah. And it's called Love, George.
And that's going to be tonight.
That's going to be tonight.
At?
At the Fort George in the hour.
Let's see, the Lovell Room at Fort George?
Yes.
Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night I'm reading, and I don't know where I'm reading. I haven't looked at the schedule.
Such is the fluid nature of Fisher Poets gathering, yeah?
Yeah, I just don't know, yeah.
Well, George, wonderful to meet you. Welcome back to Astoria.
Thank you, David. I love it here. Yeah, it's so nice to come over that hill by the Crest Motel and just see the ships
sure,
at anchor.
Sure, yeah, there we go.
The
now
water stretched
back
out there. It's just a breath of fresh air, yeah.
And that's going to be George Wilson, watercolors at the Imogen Gallery this evening. And the reception, you can stop by and meet George 4 to 6
4
at
to
the
6,
Imogen
yeah.
tonight. And here we have a little bit of a preview of the Fisher Poets Gathering right here. And don't go away. You're listening to the Arts Live and Local here on Coast Community Radio, 91.9 KMEWN in Astoria, 89.5 KTCB in Tillamook.
This here's the Alaska Farm Salmon Blues, copyright August 2002 by John Van Amerongen. Well, we raised a lot of salmon and we took their eggs, shipping off to Chile because there weren't no regs. They hatched them eggs and they put them in a pen. Alaska salmon market's never been the same again. Now they pumped them full of drugs and they spliced their genes. Raised the biggest damn salmon that you ever seen. Fed them funny pellets, grew them fat as a hog. Tastes just like a barbecued Presto log. So don't eat them cooked, don't eat them raw. Don't feed them to your cat, don't feed them to your dog. Don't feed them to your wife, don't feed them to your child. Don't be eating any salmon that we ain't caught wild. Now they smoke them in the locks and they put them in a can. Freeze them up solid, ship them off to Japan. Fillet them nice and pretty, pull the pin bones too. Ship them back to America to feed to me and you. But don't eat them cooked, don't eat them raw. Don't feed them to your cat, don't feed them to your dog. Don't feed them to your wife, don't feed them to your child. Don't be eating any salmon that we ain't caught wild. So if you want to save a troller or a gill net or two, don't be eating no salmon from a saltwater zoo, cause it just ain't natural and it just ain't right to be putting farm salmon in your skillet tonight. No, don't eat them cooked, don't eat them raw, don't feed them to your cat, don't feed them to your dog, don't feed them to your wife, don't feed them to your child, don't be eating any salmon that we ain't caught wild. Well, don't eat them cooked, don't eat them raw, don't feed them to your pop, don't feed them to your ma, don't feed them to your wife, don't feed them to your child. Don't be eating any salmon that we ain't caught wild. Don't be eating any salmon that we ain't caught wild. When he hopped off the ferry in Ketchikan, he was fresh as a little pup. Waltzed on into the sourdough, and us boys at the bar looked up. Well, here's the kid from Ballard. Yes, he'd come a long, long way to fill his wish and kill some fish on the deck of the Corvamay. Now his cheeks were pale and shaven, his blonde hair long and straight. He didn't smoke or chew no snooze at all. He didn't talk much while we ate. Didn't cuss or fart, he couldn't read a chart, a real greenhorn you could say. But his back had muscle, so I guessed he could hustle a job on the Corvamay. Are you staring at me? He looked up and said when he put down his knife and fork. Well, I was nursing a mac and water, and I was wondering if this dork could pull his weight after staying up late when we met at the break of day to lace up the sand in the pounding rain on the dock by the Corvamay. Now, pardon me, pal, but you look like a gal the way all that hair is a-waving. And that shirt's mighty fancy, but wearing it's chancy the way my cook's been behaving. See, he ain't been laid in 53 days since his wife up and ran away. So you better be hoping you don't drop the soap in the shower on the Corvamay. Took him on down to the Tongass and I fixed him up real good. I bought him a pair of Frisco jeans, a set of oilskins with a hood to keep the jellyfish out of his neck, piling web and corks all day when the big ones plop from the flower block on the deck of the Corvamay. We gave him the bunk in the engine room with his head right next to the jimmy. When he sat at the galley table, all them coffee cups would shimmy till his third piece of bacon when he finally quit shaking and the trembling went away. But he never did whine, he was doing just fine, that kid on the Corvamay. See, we ain't really mean, it's just that we've seen a lot of them come and go. And if you ain't got grit, you ain't worth a shit to yourself or your boat in a blow. Cause even the best are put to the test when you can't see the bow through the spray. So we did what we did for ourselves and the kid that trip on the Corvamay. When we pulled into town, he bought us a round and quickly paid for another. He lifted his glass and said, you're an ass, but I'm starting to feel like your brother. It's a real no-brainer, this being a saner, but I think I'll stay on anyway. You guys are moronic. Yep, mine's gin and tonic. Here's to the Corvamay. Thank you. up to Alaska on a Harley from L.A. He bought a troller in Craig. The very next day, picked a puller up at Ruth Ann's. Man, she was a dish. They hit the drag at dawn. Started killing fish. She's wearing black leather rain gear, got an earring and a tattoo too. Haley's hell on fish, and he'll be cleaning out a drag near you. He don't need no radar, he don't need no scope, he don't need no charts, you know he ain't no dope. He's got his mojo working, he don't need no books, just a spool of nylon leader and a box full of hooks. He's wearing black leather rain gear, got an earring and a tattoo too. Well, he's hell on fish, and he'll be cleaning out a drag near you. Well, he's hell on fish. He's hell on fish. He's hell on fish. He's hell on fish. He's hell on fish, and he'll be cleaning out a drag near you. He gets his hoochies from Gucci's and it's understood. Smell of jelly from Fredericks of Hollywood. He's got a golden leg gaffer with a diamond on the tip. Ain't a salmon in Alaska that he can't stick. He's wearing black leather rain gear, got an earring and a tattoo too. He's hell on fish and he'll be cleaning out a drag near you. Now he's hell on fish. He's hell on fish. He's hell on fish. He's hell on fish. He's hell on fish, and he'll be cleaning out a drag near you. He don't need no radar, he don't need no scope, he don't need no charts, and he ain't no dope. He's got his mojo working, he don't need no books, just a spool of nylon leader and a box full of hooks. He's wearing black leather rain gear, got an earring and a tattoo too. Well, he's hell on fish, and he'll be cleaning out a drag near you. Well, he's hell on fish, and he'll be cleaning out a drag near you. We were drinking beer, tossing darts one night at the Elbow Room. I was fresh out of school, working on the beach from midnight till the afternoon. My back was strong and my mind was weak, so it seemed all right to me to pack my boots and rain gear for a trip to the Bering Sea. Where you scoop the ocean's riches, just pull 'em aboard for free. Asked if I could, sure as hell I would take a job on the Bering Sea. Now Jake was a grizzly engineer on the Crabber Arctic Cross. For a round or two he could get me aboard, cause he knew the old deck boss. When I quit my job at the Westward plant, I was giddy, I was free. Though I didn't have much, I was leaving Dutch for a job on the Bering Sea. Where you scoop the ocean's riches, just pull 'em aboard for free. He asked if I could, and I said I would take a job on the Bering Sea. Now the Arctic Cross was 100 feet with as many pots piled high. I climbed aboard and we headed toward the Pribs under blackened sky. I said a prayer, a beam priest rock, there was nowhere now to flee. Like it or not, what I wanted I got, I was bound for the Bering Sea. But the wind was blowing hard and now we were listing toward the lee. And Jake said, just you wait there, boy, till we get to the Bering Sea. Yeah, the wind was blowing hard and now we were listing toward the lee. And Jake said, just you wait there, boy, till we get to the Bering Sea. Well, 12 hours out we were idling down, it was time to set our gear. I was chopping bait, filling jars, and trying my best to hear what the mate was screaming through the howling wind. It made no sense to me, coming out of that wave-drenched speaker on the deck that was full of the Bering Sea. It made no sense to me, coming out of that wave-drenched speaker on the deck that was full of the Bering Sea. Well, his words came clear when from the rear I was clipped by a shifting pot. 6 by 6, 600 pounds, those suckers weigh a lot. Now it pinned me against the chopper, and as the blades worked on my glove, I was ready to pack, couldn't wait to get back to that shore job that I love. But the blades were getting closer now, and they hacked my fingers 3. They chopped them into mincemeat for the crabs in the Bering Sea. Yeah, the blades were getting closer now, and they hacked my fingers 3. They chopped them into mincemeat for the crabs in the Bering Sea. Well, back at the bar in the elbow room, what stories I can tell of fingers lost on the Arctic cross on a crab trip bound for hell. Well, it's been 6 years, but to order 3 beers, it takes 2 hands, you see. A reminder of my foolish love for life on the Bering Sea. 'Cause you risk your life for the riches, nothing comes for free. All the money looks nice, but you better think twice before you fish on the Bering Sea. 'Cause you risk your life for the riches, and nothing comes for free. All the money looks nice, but you better think twice before you fish on the Bering Sea. Well, he sailed into town on the Sockeye Express, extra toughs, Carhartts in the rain. Jenny watched from the window of her little corner room. Oh my, how she fell for that man. Well, Jenny waited tables at the Gilmore Hotel. Them fishermen, they all looked the same. Till that sailor walked in, tipped his hat, said hello, smiled at Jenny, and asked her her name. Sat down and ordered a big Kansas steak. He said, oh my, that's big enough for 2. Well, imagine her surprise when he nodded to the chair. He said, sit down, I'll share this with you. Jenny ran upstairs to the Gilmore Hotel, changed her dress in that little corner room. Ran a brush through her hair, pinched her cheek and on her breast, put a drop of that sweet French perfume. Her heart was racing as she tripped down the stairs. The sailor stood up from his chair, brushed her arm as he poured that first glass of champagne, put a flower from the vase in her hair. When the candle died down, he held her little hand. She said, I know you're leaving soon. But her lips were on fire when she whispered in his ear, led him up to that little corner room. Now the room burned red in the heat of their love. They tangled, they touched until dawn. But when the whistle blew shrill from the Sockeye Express, she woke up, the sailor was gone. Now she sits by the window in her little corner room, staring out at the boats in the rain. She studies all the faces as they step to the dock, but there's never a sign of that man. She sits by the window in her little corner room, staring out at the boats in the rain. She studies all the faces as they step to the dock, but there's never a sign of that man. No, there's never a sign of that man. Came on up to South Bend on a Harley from L.A., hit the beach in his leather boots the very next day. Spent a week out in the estuary wading through the muck, and he never found a single oyster he couldn't shuck. Laid his finger on the hinge, he didn't twist or shove. They didn't open from the pressure, they opened for love. He's a shucker for love. He's a shucker for love. He don't need no oyster knife, he don't need no glove, he don't need no automation, he's a shucker for love.
A shucker for love indeed, and that is just a preview of what you can expect at the Fisher Poets Gathering this weekend in Astoria, Friday and Saturday. And a reminder, the Coast Community Radio will feature a remote broadcast of the Fisher Poets Gathering live from the Liberty Theater this Friday and Saturday from 6 to 10. You can tune in for poetry, songs, stories, and more, all written and performed by men and women of the commercial fishing industry. And thank you so much to Raymond Martin of Ta Ta Ta. They're going to be at Carruthers tonight in downtown Astoria. And to George Wilson, who's exhibition is opening at the Imogen Gallery tonight, artist reception from 4 to 6, and he'll be reading tonight at the Fort George Lovell Tap Room. And the Oregon premiere of the documentary Edge of Paradise will be shown on February 28th from 6 to 9 at the Times Theater at 133 Broadway in Seaside. The Sou'wester Lodge in CV, Washington is presenting a concert with Naveed Elliott. That's on February 23rd, beginning at 8 p.m. Naveed is best known as the frontman for the band Planes on Paper. And the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach is presenting the comedy Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30 p.m. through February the 23rd. And remember, the Fisher Poets Gathering, seven venues: Astoria Brewing, Fort George, Lovell Showroom, Columbian Theater, Gala, Hipfish in Astoria, Labor Temple, Liberty Theater in Astoria, and the Voodoo Room in Astoria. It'll be singing circles, poetry slams, concerts, dances, workshops. Go to fisherpoets.org for more information.